Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNC 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Spring is sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Adam Vingan and Derek Mason here with you. Willie Donick will join us shortly once he handles his Predators pregame responsibilities. We are live at Bridgestone Arena, where the Predators will host the Edmonton Oilers tonight at 7 o'clock. Of course, all coverage here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game. A big opportunity for the Predators to get their first win of the season, trying to avoid something they have never done in their franchise history, which is lose their first four games of a season in regulation. They will face a tough task tonight against the Edmonton Oilers, who have had the Predators' number in recent years. Off the top of my head, the Predators are 4-10-1 in their past 15 meetings with the Edmonton Oilers, and we will get into more of that matchup later in the program. But Derek, some interesting news out of St. Thomas Sports Park this morning. According to Adam Schefter and Teron Davenport, the Titans are releasing Jamal Adams.
Well, I mean, it's you knew something was going to happen the minute they put him on the non-football injury list. You knew there was a problem. This is a guy that has played, 10 snaps, and not even 10 snaps?
According to Teron, in his article on ESPN.com, Jamal Adams played a total of 20 snaps in three games, including two in his Titans debut against the Jets in Week 2. He played a season-high 17 snaps the following week against the Packers, but his frustration level peaked after playing just one snap against the Dolphins in Week 4. So 20 total snaps for Jamal Adams this season.
And listen, obviously something happened between the time that, he got here till now that he wasn't pleased about it. I'm sure it was the playing time. I'm sure, he was told that he would get some playing time. That he would be in the rotation, not necessarily a starter, but he would be in the rotation. And he didn't find himself in the rotation for whatever reason. I have no idea. Was it because of injury? He wasn't playing, early on, or he didn't practice, during 2-a-days much. But they understood that when they brought him in. They knew what his practice regimen or his practice habits would be, just like they knew what D-Hop practice regimen and his practice habits would be. Again, there must have been some miscommunication between he and the Titans brass, or he and the head coach, or he and the defensive coordinator, where it didn't work. Listen, I've been a part of situations like that where you come in and things that they are telling you prior to you signing with them, and then when you get there, they're still telling you these things, and then as practice and as games go, it's totally opposite of what was told, and you, as a player, you get frustrated, and I'm sure that's what he became frustrated, that he wasn't playing. So this is just another problem, or another one of these cracks within this Titans team that we talked about earlier in the week. When you have a guy that you brought in, to be a part of your defense, and then after five games, or really after four, he's no longer a part of your team. And you give no reasons why he's not a part of your team, why he was deactivated, why he was put on the non-football injury list. There are some things going on in that building that you know, aren't all rosy. And obviously it started with the play, but when stuff like this happens, that's not a sign of things going well within the building.
Teron Davenport writes at ESPN.com, quote, Adams told ESPN on Thursday that he wasn't frustrated about not being a starter. He just wanted an opportunity to contribute, so he requested his release. The primary issue from the Titans' point of view was a lack of practice. According to a team source, Adams missed extensive time during training camp as he fought through a hip injury. The Titans placed Adams on the non-football injury list this past Saturday. The veteran defensive back said he's healthy and ready to help out the next team.
That's a lie. It's a lie because y'all knew what his practice habits were before he came here. Y'all knew he didn't practice the first day he got here. He didn't practice in camp, and it wasn't a big deal. It was he'll be okay, he'll be ready for the season, and this and that. But now all of a sudden it's a problem now when it wasn't a problem then. Again, you have guys every week that you don't practice, that you allow to not practice every week, the same guys. You had guys in training camp that didn't practice. Snead didn't practice. Cheeto didn't practice. Guys like D-Hop, before he got injured, he wasn't practicing every day because why? He was a veteran. You wanted to, you know, take care of him, make sure he was well-rested, you know, when the season started. But now all of a sudden, it's a problem. That's an excuse. That is a big excuse because you knew exactly what type of player he was when you brought him in here. You knew that he wasn't going to practice as much, and you were okay with it then. Or you act as if you were okay with it. It seemed like everybody was on board, but now it becomes a problem. That's horse crap. It really is. That's the part that I get pissed off about, that I get upset about, when organizations do stuff like that. When damn well they knew he wasn't going to practice. They knew it when they brought him in.
So it's damage control.
Exactly. Just be honest. Like, hey, listen, he ain't fit the scheme that we were running. We didn't feel he was the same player. So he wants to go somewhere else where he can get some playing time. We're going to allow that to happen. Don't lie and say it was his practice. He didn't practice as much. You got a bunch of guys on that team that don't practice as much. Maybe that's a damn problem.
Well, the Jamal Adams era ended as quickly as it started. According to ESPN, Jamal Adams has been released from the Tennessee Titans after playing a grand total of 20 defensive snaps for the team after joining them in the offseason. Yesterday as well, Derek, we heard from Will Levis for the first time this week. The first question he was asked at his news conference was about his level of confidence. And here is what Will Levis said when asked about maintaining the edge that got him to where he is right now.
Callahan earlier about the highs and lows, adversity quarterbacks face all throughout a season, and you've been very open with us about where your mind's been at in certain weeks after certain games. Where's your confidence level at right now at this point in the season and following that tough loss Sunday?
Hi, I feel like it's always been that. I think after the game I made the comment, I found myself in a tough spot after the Miami game, just dealing with the injury and all that. And I was disappointed how I let myself dip for that brief period of time, but I feel like I'm back, and I'm not going to let myself lose that again. I think the second you lose that edge, it's hard to come back from, and you got to just maintain that to go out there and have the confidence and my mindset to just do what you're capable of. So that's what I'm making sure that I remind myself every day, regardless of what my, you know, box score or stat line looks like, that I know who I am at the end of the day. Numbers are whatever else, whoever anyone says has to say doesn't define me.
That was Will Levis yesterday when asked about where his confidence is. And I'm no psychologist, but sometimes on the radio you play amateur psychologist. I hear what Will Levis is saying, and I didn't expect him to say anything other than what he said. Mm-hmm. But you hear how he said it. You look at his body language as he said it. He claims he is as confident as ever, although there was a dip in it, he admitted. But he did not come across as a confident quarterback, despite saying the opposite.
I don't. Maybe I look at this totally wrong, and maybe that can be the case. But when you are a true competitor, and at least this is the way I am wired. You never lose confidence, no matter what's going on. You never lose confidence in who you are as a player. Things may not be going well, but you never lose confidence in who you are as a player. They may not be giving you the opportunity, but you never lose confidence of who you are as a player. You may not reach the potential that you want to reach, but you never lose confidence as a player. You can't lose confidence and say, well, in a week or a couple of days, well, I got it back. Did you? Okay. And then you lost your confidence, you got it back, but then in another clip that we will play, you had a bad practice. The energy was low. Come on now. Make it make sense. You're up there. Will's problem right now is that whether he's saying that he's regained that confidence or not, I don't think he has. I don't think he has. I don't think he's regained whatever confidence he had at the beginning of the season, because now everything that he does, he know he will be scrutinized over. So which tells me he's going into sort of self-preservation mode. He's going to start pressing. He's going to start trying to do things to make big plays. And that's the Will Levis they don't need. The Will Levis that feels he has to play. You know why that again, you know why that pass was intercepted in the last game toward the end? Because he was pressing. He wanted to make a big play. You saw it, his body language. He stared the receiver down for about 2 or 3 seconds. Everybody in the building knew where he was throwing the ball, but he was pressing. He even said, oh, if my arm was better, I could have got it in there. No, you couldn't have, because you stared the receiver down. The defensive back, the safety knew exactly where you were going. I don't know what they need to do with Will Levis, but they need to do it quick, because if not, that locker room is gone. It really is. So Will Levis, you better find some confidence somewhere. If you've lost it and trying to regain it, you better find it, and you better find it quick, because if you don't, you might as well just hand over the football to Mason Rudolph.
Well, let's listen to that clip that you referenced, Derek. This was Will Levis discussing yesterday's practice.
Well, we talked to Callahan about the urgency. He said, you know, it's always there, but there might be a different tone to it, given the record and these next two tough road opponents. What's your take on the urgency going into a week like this?
Yeah, I think operationally, just in and out of the huddle, too. That's something we saw on this past Sunday that wasn't up to our standard. And with all the stuff that we do, with all the motions and everything, and different types of looks we're going to give to the defense, like, we need to, you know, get up and set on the line of scrimmage with more than 15 seconds to go. We can't be breaking the huddle, you know, approaching the line with 6-7 seconds without even having to or being able to operate what we want to for the play. So it's working through this week of getting the substitutions game-like, making sure that we're getting in and out of the huddle with urgency. I think that mindset in the huddle, in and out of the huddle, should take its, you know, course throughout everything else that we're doing in the building and how we approach it. So we didn't have the best day of practice today. We all knew that. We want to come out tomorrow and make sure that urgency and what we put out there on tape is more to our standard. So opportunity to do that tomorrow.
So reporters don't have the opportunity to watch practice during the regular season as they do during training camp.
Yeah.
So nobody can really explain why it was a bad practice, although I do think we have a clip. If we don't have it now, we'll get to it later, of Peter Skoronski explaining what that quote-unquote bad practice looked like. But considering everything that's gone wrong for this team and considering their next opponent, the Buffalo Bills, and we talked about this yesterday specifically about the defense, but we can talk about it as a whole. This is their toughest test of the season to date.
Yeah.
This is a legitimate Super Bowl contender. They are going on the road to face a legitimate Super Bowl contender. And Will Levis, just sort of nonchalantly at the end there, wasn't our best day of practice. I was advised by a certain someone who also hosts a show on this on this station, to play that clip for you and then just let you go. So that's what I'm going to do. Derek, the floor is yours.
Hey, David. Dave.
What's up?
Hey, can you play that clip for me one more time?
Just of
play
course.
That clip for me. Thank you. Because there was some, I want to be.
Callahan about the urgency. He said, you know, it's always there, but there might be a different tone to it, given the record and these next two tough road opponents. What's your take on the urgency going into a week like this?
Yeah, I think operationally, just in and out of the huddle, too. That's something we saw on this past Sunday that wasn't up to our standard. And with all the stuff that we do, with all of the motions and everything, the different types of looks we're going to give to the defense, like, we need to, you know, get up and set on the line of scrimmage with more than 15 seconds to go. We can't be breaking the huddle, you know, approaching the line with 6-7 seconds without even having to or being able to operate what we want to for the play. So it's working through this week of getting the substitutions game-like, making sure that we're getting in and out of the huddle with urgency. I think that mindset in the huddle, in and out of the huddle, should take its, you know, course throughout everything else that we're doing in the building and how we approach it. So we didn't have the best day of practice today. We all knew that. We want to come out tomorrow and
stop it right there, David.
And what we put out.
Thank you, David. I appreciate that. Okay. Once again, like my mama said, my grandmama said, if you ain't got nothing good to say, don't say nothing at all, Will Levis. They weren't talking to Will Levis, but I'm talking to Will Levis now. If you ain't got nothing good to say, don't say nothing at all, Will. They did not ask you a question about practice. They did not prompt you with a question about practice. I think that may have been Kayla that asked that question, and I can't recall her saying, well, how did practice go, Will? She didn't say that. She didn't mention practice at all. But he took it upon himself to say, yeah, we didn't have a good day of practice today. It's like, man, shut the hell up. Stop running your mouth. That's the sign. He's not your leader because he doesn't know what to say and when to say it. If you don't know what to say and when to say it, shut your mouth. You can tell by the way he was talking. It was like he was almost looking for things to say toward the end. And you said the wrong thing. Now, Peter Skoronski, they're going to ask Peter, hey, Will said practice didn't go well.
And we'll play that clip.
And we'll play that clip. Or they got to ask somebody else. Now the other teammates are like, man, I didn't want to ask who said practice didn't go well. Who said it? Oh, Will said practice didn't go. Oh, okay. I guess it. The sense of urgency. You are causing problems, Will, that don't need to be caused. Shut your mouth if you ain't got nothing good to say. You are supposed to be the leader of this team. You got to know what to say, when to say it, and how to say it. I understand you don't want to lie to anybody, but no one asked you a question to prompt that answer. No one did. I don't think what was asked of you prompted you to say we didn't have a good practice because you said that at the end after you start fumbling with your words, thinking about what to say, and that just came out. You, Will, you can't do that. Now you leave it up to everybody else to ask, to answer questions based upon your answer. That was really the big crux of it. But also, you threw the head coach under the bus once again. You threw him under the bus once again, and again, they didn't ask you to throw him under the bus. We got to get the plays in faster. We got to get it in and out of the huddle faster. What that means is, Callahan, get the plays in quicker. Get the plays in quicker so we can get up to the huddle quicker. That's what that means. And that may be going on. But again, you don't throw your coach under the bus. Have your coach thrown you under the bus? Hell no. He has every right to throw you under the bus, but he hasn't. That's the second time in 3 days you done threw your head coach under the bus. First, it was the shoulder. Your head coach didn't know anything about that as far as you hurting. To his knowledge, you were okay. You were good to go. And then you come back a day later, 2 days later, and you say, well, yeah, we need to get in and out of the huddle. We need to get the plays. Will, that's something that you and the head coach need to be talking about. That's not anything that the reporters need to be hearing. Just say, hey, listen, you know, we need to get out. We, as an offense, we need to speed things up. That's all. We need to speed things up as an offense. I need to get the guys in and out of huddle. I, the quarterback, the leader, I need to get. If you got to be demonstrative with these guys, then that's what you need to do. Stop trying to placate. Stop trying to be friends with everybody. Stop trying to appease everybody. If you are going to be the leader, sometimes you got to do hard things.
615-737-1025. Our phone and text lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Coming up next, we'll hear Peter Skoronski's answer as to why the Titans had a supposedly bad practice, and we'll continue to take your thoughts on the Titans at 615-737-1025. Join 1025 and 1063 The Game and Big Joe Dubin from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. this Saturday at Hope Fest 2024, a family-friendly festival celebrating hope found in the faith and recovery community. The event will be held at the Bethel Church of the Nazarene at 455 Broadmoor Drive in Nashville from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. with free food, games for the kids, mental health and recovery resources available. The Tennessee Titans Alumni Association will be on hand with their vaccination clinic. More details at thegamenashville.com/events.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, you want to go out and have the best practice possible and prepare like it's a game environment, and could have been better today. I think there was just some slips in energy and some slips in execution. And, you know, game day, what we do on game day starts on Wednesday in terms of our execution. We got to have a good day on these days in the week, because that's how we build our confidence for Sunday, and that's how we get mentally ready for Sunday, too. So, got to be better tomorrow. We have an opportunity tomorrow, so got to get after it.
That was Peter Skoronski when asked about Will Levis's comments about the Titans having a bad day of practice yesterday. By the way, the current line on the game on Sunday, Bills -9.5.
Did it go up?
Last I checked, it was 9. Maybe those comments added that 0.5. But the Bills are 9.5-point favorites, which in the NFL...
That's a blowout.
That's a blowout. And if the Titans play as they apparently practiced yesterday, it's not going to be pretty in New York on Sunday when the Titans face the Bills. So that was Peter Skoronski's response when asked about Will Levis's comments. And, Derek, you would know this way more than I would. It just feels like at this point of the season, regardless of the quarterback, at this point of the season, you're 1-4. Your season is on life support.
Yeah.
If you lose this game, a lot of players in that locker room may be on their way out. Well, we've talked a lot about DeAndre Hopkins and the potential trades involving DeAndre Hopkins. We'll get to that in a little bit as well. But this is it. I mean, you could argue it's already been it. They're 1-4. But this is definitely it. If you're 1-5 and then you go to Detroit and you become 1-6, it's not going to get pretty around here. It's already pretty ugly. But, you know, to hear a 1-4 team preparing for its toughest test of the season, their quarterback claiming they didn't have a good day of practice. Mm-hmm. I mean, it feels like it goes beyond the quarterback in this situation.
Yeah, again, and then you leave this mess for everybody else to answer. Peter Skoronski, now a second-year guy, now who's dealing with his own issues, and he's trying to get better at a position. Now he has to answer questions that you generated. The person that asked you that question, Will Levis, didn't generate it. You generated it. Now everybody else has to deal with the aftermath of it. Everybody else. And this is what's going to happen, Adam. I bet you $100 right now. I bet you $100. This is what's going to happen.
All right.
If they lose, that will come back. Well, so y'all lost, so was the week of y'all not being prepared or the energy wasn't there, was that a factor into y'all losing? Now they got to answer that question. And how are they going to answer it? Well, your quarterback said y'all didn't have a good practice, and you had to reiterate it. The energy was low. So if y'all lose, it's like everybody's going to come back to what your quarterback said on Wednesday. They're going to come back to that. I guarantee you. So now you just set the table for some disastrous, Will Levis, and you didn't even have to. You didn't have, again, if you ain't got nothing, if you don't know what to say, don't say nothing at all.
A self-inflicted wound.
That's all it was. You shot yourself in the foot and didn't even need to. That shows me you can't handle a gun. That shows me you, and a gun is the interview. You can't handle the interview. So you shoot yourself in the foot. Now, Peter Skoronski got to answer a question about that. And I'm sure there are other guys in that locker room that is going to have to answer a question pertaining to what Will Levis brought up. Because, again, it wasn't something that the interviewer was asking to him. They didn't ask that. I think it was Kayla, but it might not have been. But the female reporter did not ask you, how did practice go today? At least I didn't hear it.
I didn't hear it either.
But you told her, and it didn't go well. Now they got something to chew on. And that's something. What did you say yesterday, Adam? You said a journalist, once they get their story together, and then the leftover stuff, they kind of dump it in there.
It's called
at the bottom.
Emptying the notebook.
Yeah.
Emptying the notebook.
So they got that one in their back pocket.
Yes.
And they're going to empty that if y'all lose. They're going to empty it right there on the page. And it's going to be your quote. Why, Will Levis? Why? And I'm sure your head coach is asking you that too. Like, damn, why did he do that?
Wes is on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Wes, thank you for waiting. Please go ahead.
All right, guys. I'm going to ask y'all a question. I asked this question to Jared a couple days ago, but he didn't have a whole lot of time to elaborate on it because I called too late. So, look, I was one of the people that got booed off of social media whenever I said this summer that I felt like Rand needed to go with Mike Vrabel. They needed to start over, but no one wanted to do that. So now we're here. So my question is this. Do you think that when Callahan got hired in, that he said, yeah, I like Will. I like what he brings to the table. I like what I've seen. I like what he's shown. I can work with that. But if for some reason I throw in my white flag sometime this season and say, hey, guys, hey, look, there's nothing I can do. This kid's not coachable. But I want to go out and work with Chad and work with Ren, and the three of us go find my guy and start over with my guy. Is there a possibility that that happens? Because I just don't see the upper management in this organization. I just don't see them fixing this, and I think we need to start over.
Thank you, Adam, for your call.
That was
Wes. Wes, I'm sorry.
Adam
Wes.
Calls. Yeah, so Adam does call a lot. I do understand.
Yes, Wes.
We love
I am
all
sorry.
Of our devoted
yes.
listeners, but that was Wes.
Wes, I am so sorry. Forgive me for that. Again, I am not advocating, or will I advocate this year for the firing or the dismissal or however you want to phrase it of Rand Carthon. I'm not doing that. He's been on the job 2 years. I mean, let the process sort of work itself out. And you will know, or the owner will know, when it's time to, you know, move away from the GM or not. I think, you know, when you brought him in, it's part of the interview process. You know, if you want to be the CEO of a company, or you want to be, you know, the head coach or even a GM, you come in for the interview. I'm going to show you what my company looks like now, or I'm going to show you what my team looks like now. And I'm going to show you a division within my company that it looks like it has a promise. The last guy couldn't get it out of them. What do you see? How would you fix this? Same with the quarterback. Hey, listen, last guy, I don't think he really could have gotten a lot out of the quarterback because he was more of a defensive-minded guy. There's nothing wrong with that. But in this day and age, if we feel we have our quarterback, we need somebody that's sort of this quarterback whisperer, somebody that's worked with some really good quarterbacks. And he has. Brian Callahan has. So, Brian, what do you see? Okay, I see. Put on a tape. All right, I see a quarterback with a strong arm. Oh, he got some tools. All right. I can work with that. All right. I'm glad you can work with this, because this is our guy. This is the owner's guy. This is the person who owns all this big Fortune 500 company. This is her guy or his guy. So make it work. Figure out how to make it work, because she wants him to be the guy. All right. I think I can work with it. But like you said, but if I can't work with it, do I have the ability to say, hey, listen, I think we need to go in another direction. Now, I don't know what that answer, if indeed that was sort of the whole conversation, probably not like that. But I don't know what Rand's response would have been, other than, because I believe this is Amy thinks he can be the guy for this franchise. And I'm only going by what she said in the offseason. He's thinking like, okay, let me run that by the owner. Let me run it by the owner because this is his guy. I drafted him too. I like him. I think he has promise. But if you can't work this out, okay, let me go to the owner. Owner, that's his guy. That's her guy. You better make it work this season. Give him the whole season. There's no give him 8 games and we're removing him. No, give him the season. But we don't want to call this a rebuild. But we don't want to call it a rebuild. Because if we call it a rebuild, then we ain't going to be able to get some of those free agents that we want. You know, we can't build this team if we tell God veteran guys that are looking to win and win Super Bowls, we're in a rebuild. Because you can't tell me how long the rebuild is going to last. So you can't say we're in a rebuild. All right. I don't know if Brian Callahan's hands are completely tied. I do believe that Amy has the last say in Will Levis. She has the last say when it comes to the GM. And then it's like she has to make the call. Then it goes to the GM. Then it goes to the head coach. The head coach and the GM can't make the call alone because they've already said, we go to Miss Amy. If we all ain't on the same page, we go to Miss Amy. She's the final authority. They've said this. This is what came out of their mouth.
Collaboration.
Exactly. So, again, who is truly making the call on Will Levis? I believe it's the owner. So everybody's hands are tied here.
Chuck on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, has an interesting question. He wonders if – well, this is how Chuck – I'm going to try to clean up Chuck's text here. He goes, for the coach they drafted Will Levis for, assuming – I mean, Mike Vrabel.
Yeah, Mike Vrabel. Mm-hmm.
He fits perfect. Run game, minimal passing. He's not the quarterback for the current head coach. What do you think about that?
Yes, I do. I believe part of what he's saying, the last part. He's not for this head coach. He's not. He's shown it. Unless he can make a drastic 180, he hasn't proven this season that he has earned the right to be the quarterback of the future. He hasn't. Now, that again, it wasn't – he's not the quarterback's guy. I mean, he's not the coach's guy, but the GM drafted him. So they got to try to find out – they got to try to make this work. That's why at the beginning I was like, yeah, go to Mason Rudolph to try not to lose a locker room. But I'm starting to believe more and more that, you know what, nah, don't do that. Don't do that because give Will Levis enough rope to basically – you know, do himself in. Give him all the rope he needs to do himself in. So then you can go in the offseason and don't try to fool your fan base. Don't try to fool your fan base. Please don't. Because Will Levis has proven he's not the guy. I want him to make a change. I want him to do a 180. But right now, from what I've seen this year, from some of the things he did last year, he's not the guy. Let it ride out. Because if you remove him, put Mason Rudolph in there, your excuse would be, well, we really didn't give him a shot, so we're going to go back with him and really another year in his offense, we're really going to give him an opportunity. No, let him play it out. So you have no excuse when the end of the season comes and your fans are screaming for a quarterback. You can't try to trick him once again. You can't give him that 4-game sample or 5-game sample, however many games he played last year. You can't fool him again. You can't give him the Atlanta game over and over and over again in their minds. You can't fool him no more. You fooled him last year. You fooled me. You had everybody. Hell, he fooled y'all. So I ain't going to put it all on management. He fooled y'all into thinking he was the guy, so y'all didn't go get a quarterback that can push him. So let him play it out, fan. Hey, fans, just allow Will Levis to stay in as quarterback. Don't even bitch him on about it anymore. Just let him go. Let him play the game he's going to play. He's going to mess up, and he will throw some touchdowns. I guarantee you that. He will throw some touchdowns. Let him prove to y'all that he's earned the right to continue to be your quarterback for next season. I don't see it. I really don't. I don't think it's going to get any better. But at least let him play the season out so when I do or anybody else on this station do talk about Will Levis, we are talking about him based upon facts, what we're seeing throughout the whole season. Because if you take him out now, fans are still going to scream or the organization is still going to scream, Well, he doesn't have enough games. He didn't get enough games. The offensive line, he was hurt last year. His shoulder. No, let him play it out. Let him have it.
615-737-1025. We'll continue to take your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Tune into 1025, 1063 The Game this Saturday for Vanderbilt football. The Commodores will take on Ball State with pregame beginning at 4:30 p.m. on 94.9 The Fan, moving to 102.5 The Game following the Preds game. Vanderbilt football kicks off at 6 o'clock. Coverage is also available on the 102.5 The Game app and at thegamenashville.com. Join Jared Stillman, Chris Sanders, and Derek Mason at Twin Peaks in Cool Springs this Sunday for the pregame show from 9:30 to 11:30. They will break down the Titans' Week 7 matchup against the Buffalo Bills and give you the latest updates before the game. The pregame show is presented by Parman Tractor and Equipment, SunDeck Nashville, Sloan's Motorcycle ATV, and award-winning Blue Note Juke Joint and Blue Note Crossroads Bourbon. Adam Vinyan, Derek Mason here at Bridgestone Arena. Silly underdog picks coming up next, so be sure to listen in. We will need a people's representative. We've got a great prize if you correctly pick an underdog to win this weekend, and we'll start that contest in the next segment. By the way, very proud of myself. I finally got on the board. Thank you, Vanderbilt. I knew you could do it. Always believed in Clark Lee and Diego Pavia. But we do have a couple of people on our phone lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com who want to comment on Will Levis and more. Jimmy, thank you for waiting patiently. Hey. Please go ahead.
Hey, guys. How y'all doing today?
Good.
Doing
you?
Well.
All right, game mates, I got two questions. My first one's a stupid question. I was a trainer at the University of Memphis. Mm-hmm. My question is a college practice harder than pro practice? And then secondly, I'm going to get into this. Cal's got a problem, a big problem. He's fixing to lose his fan base, and he's having problems. These guys are not playing team ball. I just don't see it, D-Mace. It's a... They look like they're out there just individually, just doing their own little thing. If he don't hurry up, he's going to wind up losing his fan base. And we're trying to build that big stadium down there, guys. So, D, I just wanted to tell you I love you. Peace out. And y'all have a good day, guys.
Thank you, Jimmy.
Thank you, Jimmy. I appreciate that. And Jimmy, there's no stupid questions. Believe me, there's not.
Just stupid answers.
Yeah, just stupid answers from people like me.
Be on your A game.
Our college practices harder than the NFL? I mean, I think it depends. I think practice is practice. Sometimes some practices are harder than others. You know, I think every coach, sets out to try to accomplish some things in practice, not necessarily to make practice harder, but to make sure that they are crossing all the T's and dotting all the I's. I can't answer like, is it harder in the NFL to practice than in college? There's a bunch of nuances to that answer. But both are hard. It just depends on the day and the coach's attitude, because hard practices are when you're going through practice and you're drudging through practice and the coach said, nope, start it over. Things don't look good, then you got to start the whole practice over. That's when it becomes hard. Not hard, from a mental standpoint, but hard from a physical standpoint, because now we got to do this all over again. But I don't think they do that anymore, because you only have an allotment of time to practice out there. Now, in regards to this team and Coach Callahan potentially losing the locker room losing the fan base, listen, you could be absolutely right on that. I am a fan of the Tennessee Titans, but I am more than a fan. They're never going to lose a guy like me, because I understand, things and how they operate. And I understand that this league is ebb and flows. Now, I may not like what's going on, and I may want changes within what's going on, but I never lose faith that the team eventually will get it right, whether it be during a season, whether it be next year or whatnot. I'm not going to lose faith in the team finally getting it right, because they have gotten it right several times in his organizations, and they have not gotten it right several times in his organization. So, but as far as just the fan base, period, outside of me, yeah, you are absolutely right. You are in the process of losing your fan base, and it's because of what's going on the field. And it seems like nothing is flowing. You know, there's no continuity between, you know, the offense and the defense, the quarterback and the receivers, the offensive line and the quarterback and the coach, you know, who's really running things. I think it's Rand, but other people believe it's Brinkert, and other people believe it's somebody else. I think it's the GM. He's the GM of this ball club. He's running things. He has the say, and ultimately Amy has the last say. But you're right. If they don't get things in order, they will lose their fan base. And they have, and I wouldn't blame the fan base, because to me, you sold them on, one, Will Levis is the guy. Two, this isn't, as Willie have said before, they should have just said it was a rebuild, but they didn't want to go down that route. And I get it. I understand why you don't want to go down that route. But you've told all your fan base all of these things, and you gave promise to them at the beginning, like every NFL team does. But now those sort of promises that you put in there, none of it's coming true. You're not holding up your end of the bargain. So I can't sit here and say, if fans choose to not roll with you, I can't sit here and say I don't blame them.
We have another text to that effect. When does Amy say enough is enough? She has zero patience in coming back to an empty stadium at 1-6. Isn't going to inspire much confidence.
You're right, but I don't believe, and listen, I could be wrong, because she has sort of like said one thing and then done another months later. I don't think anyone will be fired during the season. I don't think anyone will be fired in the offseason. I think she's going to run it back again with the same crew. And I mean, when I say crew, I mean the GM, president, everybody else, everybody that kind of falls along the lines of that as far as upper management. I don't think she's going to change anything. She damn sure ain't going to change that head coach. Because, again, if you make any changes this offseason, you're going to lose your fan base, because they're going to think, like, you're erratic. You don't know what you're doing. You had a chance to – if you're going to fire Rand Carthon, I do agree with Jared with this. But I don't agree with Rand Carthon being fired. But say if you're going to fire Rand Carthon, you should have did it when you fired Mike Vrabel, so you could start all over again. I'm not going to prescribe to that. I'm not. But if that's what you're going to do, you should have did it last year. Because now what people think is, man, they don't have things in order, because now you fired the coach, you hired the GM, then you fired the head coach. Okay? And then if you do this, you fire the GM, and then you're going to bring another GM to work with a coach that he didn't hire. How long do you think that's going to last? You're going to be in this perpetual cycle over and over and over again. That's why I said just let it play out. Let it play out this year. Let it play out next year. Draft your quarterback in the offseason, or get you a guy that can come in here and right the ship. Because if you don't, then yeah. If nothing changes next year, then hey, listen, if you want to make changes, I will not say anything. And I don't think the fan base would say anything.
It's complicated.
Very.
It's very complicated, and it'll be interesting to see what happens as the season progresses. But you know, what we have seen on the field so far this season has inspired very little confidence in this front office, this collaboration, this conglomeration, whatever you want to call it. But you know, we're reaching an inflection point with the Tennessee Titans, to say the least, and it really does feel like the next few weeks, especially considering what could happen at the trade deadline, and we'll get into that later. It just feels like Amy Adams Strunk, Rand Carthon, Chad Brinker, the decision makers for the Tennessee Titans, they've got their work cut out for them, to say the least. 615-737-1025. Willie Donick has joined us. The commissioner is here, which means it's time for Silly Underdog Picks. We will get to that next. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025, 1063, the game.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.